Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So, is it mandatory to pray only 11 rak'ahs? Would I be innovating if I increase more than that or pray less than that? Some scholars say yes. Other scholars say no way, Jose. Although they were not addressing Mexicans. But this is how it was said. They say no way. The Prophet, when he alayhi salatu wasalam, taught the man about night prayer, he told him about the format and he did not disclose to him the minimum or the maximum, which means you cannot say that I cannot pray more than 11 because the Prophet did not tell that Bedouin. And postponing, informing or teaching the ignorant cannot be delayed. This is the rule. تَأْخِيرُ الْبَيَانِ عَنْ وَقْتِ الْحَاجَةِ. It is not permissible. It's not possible. So is this rule understood now? We go back to the hadith. The companions and the scholars said that the Prophet here did not delay the information to that man. But he wanted to open his senses so that when he teaches them or he teaches him, he will fully be alert and learn properly. Like, for example, when the Prophet ﷺ on Hajjatul Wada', on the farewell pilgrimage, he addressed the companions by saying, what day is it? And they told him, what month is it? The sacred month. What country or what city is this? Al-Baladul Haram. This is all well-known information. Why did he do this, alayhi salatu wasalam? Because he wanted them to anticipate. What is he going to say? Then he gave them the address that your blood and your reputation and your money or your wealth is haram. Like Allah Azza wa Jal made this day haram in this haram month in this haram city. So now this has been absorbed by the people. Khalas, they know it. Likewise, when the man was told, go and pray. He prayed and came back. Wa alaykum salam, you did not pray. Go and pray. The man went and, okay, what did I do wrong? Maybe this. And he prayed, but still, the third time, khalas. Now I am ready to learn. What is it that I had done wrong? Now, if you go through the hadith and the different versions, you know that the greatest mistake of this man was that he did not have the tranquility, the calmness in performing each pillar of the prayer. So he used to make ruku' and lift up and go down and make sujood and go quickly. He does not give each pillar its due right. And that is why the scholars said that from this hadith and other hadiths that the prayer is composed of pillars, mandatory things, wajibat, and sunan, recommended. They said pillars, whether you forget them, neglect them, intentionally or unintentionally, your prayer is invalid. Unless you pray it in the same prayer. And mandatory things, if you abandon them, if you don't do mandatory things deliberately, your prayer is invalid. If you forgot, you can make up for this by offering two sujood of sahu, forgetfulness, prostration. Sunan, if you don't do it intentionally, there is nothing wrong in that and you're not sinful and your prayer is complete. And from this hadith and other different versions, they learned the pillars of salah and they differed. The schools of thought, they differed greatly in defining the pillars of salah, but the most authentic opinion that there are between 14 and 15 pillars of salah. What are they? First of all, the pillars of salah. To stand up when you are capable. Because I'm talking about mandatory prayers, huh? If I'm capable to stand up, but I sit down, I don't want to stand up. My prayer is invalid. The Prophet said in the authentic hadith, pray standing up. If you're unable, sitting down. If you are unable, then lying on your side. I must pray standing up. The second pillar is at-takbir. Takbiratul ihram. And this is a pillar. If I don't say it properly, then my prayer is invalid. How do I do not say it properly? If someone says, Allahu Akbar. This is a question form in Arabic. When I extend the alif, the first thing I say, Allahu, meaning is Allah. So if someone says, Allahu Akbar, his prayer is invalid. If someone says, Allahu Akbar, Akbar is a drum in Arabic, Akbar. So if someone says, Allahu Akbar, his prayer is invalid. But if a person changes a vowel, instead of saying Allahu, he says Allaha, Allaha Akbar. This is okay. If he's not doing it deliberately, some Arabs, some Bedouins are unable to pronounce it. Some non-Arabs even may make the mistake of not pronouncing it well. This is permissible, inshallah. The third pillar is Al-Fatiha, the recitation of Al-Fatiha. And it's a pillar for an imam, an individual, and there is a difference of opinion regarding the ma'moom, the follower. And I believe that I promised you I will explain it to you someday, but the day did not come. So maybe, inshallah, in the questions and answers, we would elaborate a little bit on that. The fourth pillar is ruku'. You have to bow. The fifth pillar is to stay calm in this position. This is a pillar by itself, and this is what the man made mistake. And if you read the hadith, you will find that the Prophet say, do this and stay calm. And do that and stay calm. So in Arabic it's called At-Tuma'nina, to be calm or to be in a state of tranquility. The sixth pillar, to raise your head. The seventh, stay there, tranquility, calmness while doing this. Eighth, sujood, prostration. Ninth, to be calm in that position. Don't just touch and go. No, do your prostration and be calm in that position. Tenth, to sit between the two prostrations. 11th, to be calm while sitting in that position. 12th, to sit for the last tashahhud. If I'm praying a 4 rak'ah, the second sitting is not a pillar, it's mandatory. The fourth sitting before salam, this is a pillar. If someone does not do it, his prayer is invalid. Number 13, at-tashahhud. And what do we mean by التشهد؟ التحيات لله والصلوات والطيبات. And what about الصلوات الإبراهيمية؟ اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد. It's an issue of dispute among scholars. Some say it's a pillar, some say it's mandatory, some say it's sunnah, and the most authentic opinion that it is sunnah. If you don't offer it, your prayer is valid. But at-tashahhud, at-tahiyyatu lillah, this is a pillar that you must say it. Number 14, offering as-salam. In one or two, the majority of scholars say that one is rukun, pillar, and the second is sunnah. Madhhab al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is that is both are mandatory. So you have to say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. What does this make a difference between the schools of thought? It makes a difference to us when we are praying behind an imam and we miss the rak'ah. If we say that it is mustahab, the second taslim, it is recommended but it is not mandatory, this means that when the imam says, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, I can stand up. Because the prayer is finished. According to Imam Ahmad's madhab, no, if the imam says assalamu alaikum and I stand up, meaning that I did not complete the prayer with the imam and my prayer is invalid. So the best thing for you to do is when the imam gives assalam, wait until he gives the other salam, then you stand up, or if you concluded the prayer as well, you offer the salam after he finishes the second. Here in this country and elsewhere, I've seen the people offer the first salam with the first salam of the imam. The minute the imam says assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, they all say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. No, you should wait until he finishes the second salam, because by this his prayer has concluded and you can start to offer salam as well. What was the last one? 14. Now we go into 15, which is the order. What is the meaning of the order? You cannot make prostration before ruku'. So if someone's standing up and then said Allahu Akbar and make prostration and finish two and then goes to make one ruku', we say that your prayer is invalid because it has to be in the same order. What are the things that are considered to be voluntary? Or let's go to wajib. What are the things that are mandatory that if I forget them, I have to prostrate sujood as-sahu? Let's begin from the beginning of the prayer. First takbir? No, this is a pillar. Fatiha? No, this is a pillar. Reciting the Quran surah? No, this is a sunnah. So every rak'ah in dhuhr, if I pray only Fatiha, my prayer is valid, correct? Even the sunnah, because the voluntary prayers, because the surah is a sunnah, it is not mandatory. Saying Allahu Akbar to bow, pillar, mandatory, sunnah, we don't know. It is?
It is mandatory.
It is mandatory, this is correct. So to say Allahu Akbar is mandatory. Sami Allahu liman hamidah is mandatory. Rabbana walakal hamd is mandatory. Raising the hands to say Allahu Akbar, mandatory or sunnah? This is sunnah. We've discussed this before. Saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim wa bihamdih. Pillar? No. Mandatory? Yes. Meaning that if I forgot, I just made ruku' and I said Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, Sami' Allahu liman hamidah. Whoa, what did I do? Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, I should have said this in sujood. I said it in ruku'. What to do? I don't have an eraser. I cannot erase it. Khalas, it's done. Scholars say you've left a wajib, a mandatory, an obligatory act. You have to prostrate for it, sujood as-sahu. Before or after salam, we will get to this, inshallah, in the chapter dealing with sujood as-sahu. Likewise, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, it is mandatory. I have to say it and I have to do it, and so on. What about the sunnah? Voluntary acts of prayer that if I do them or if I don't do them, my prayer is valid. There are plenty, such as Dua al-Istiftah, Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik tabaraka ismuka ta'ala jadduk, or Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khataya, which we have studied before, such as A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, reciting the surah after the Fatiha, raising the hands when you're prostrating, putting the right on the left. This is all sunnah. If I don't want to, I just pray like this. This is all part of the sunnah, among other things that inshallah we will maybe get to know later on. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.